Hey, this is Adam Richman from Food Network UK, and you are feasting your ears on the Hotspur podcast. Come on, you Spurs.
Spurs podcast. It is Sunday, the 29th of December 2019. I am Steve and Leon C, and we've got, drum roll please, it's Colin. He's back. Colin, how are you doing?
Yes, I'm doing good, mate. I'm doing good.
I'll tell you what, people at home can't believe it.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
He's back. He's back. Unbelievable. Right, what have you been up to in the last 3 years?
I don't know. Disappeared. Actually missed some of the best years that Spurs have played in a long time. I've never done a podcast about it after all the years of moaning and thinking we're going nowhere. And obviously the last 3 or 4 years have been fantastic. But, you know, it's not just as fantastic anymore. So it's a... But sure, we'll get into that there.
Let's get into it then. So you watched the Norwich game?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
And then thoughts?
Really disappointed. I think just the way this season's been going, you know, every time we seem to just have that chance just to close that gap and get up into the top four, it just reminds me of Spurs from about 8 or 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Where, you know, where we used to get excited going, oh, we're maybe going to break into the top six here. And we always seem to lose those games or draw those games. And I think it's just the way it's been. You know, obviously, the Man United game, if we'd have won there, we were catching Chelsea up because they're on a bad run. And obviously, the Chelsea game last Sunday was an opportunity to go level with them, putting pressure on them again. Then they lose, and then we go into this Norwich game, you know, to go fourth in the league before they played there. Obviously, they beat Arsenal today, which they were lucky on, but... you know, we just seem to be falling at those hurdles. So yesterday was very, very frustrating game. I expected us to come out a lot quicker, a lot faster, you know, and go at Norwich. And especially when I seen the lineup, I was delighted with the lineup. And I thought we'll have a real go, but it was just so slow and it nearly took us, you know, to go a goal down to really get started again, which was frustrating.
Yeah. It's funny, isn't it? Because... you know, we're all expecting this defensive, you know, hard to break down, park the bus, win 1-0, boring, you know, poo-housery,
the
word that is actually used, that we don't do that because this show's for kids, guys. but, you know, it's not materialised that way. We've conceded a load of goals. We've made some horrendous mistakes. I think both goals were, you know, so avoidable, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And, you know, once again, you go a goal down. I don't know, you know, what if we've seen the true Mourinho, you know, will the true Mourinho please stand up? You know, is he trying to be too nice? Is he doing this, you know, I'm at a new club, it's hostile territory. I've got to, you know, put my arm around everybody's shoulder. But really, I'd quite like him to, you know, start having a go at people and saying, look, you know, that's not my team. My teams don't make those mistakes. My teams don't give the ball away in our own half. We get the ball in the opposition half. We play our football there. And if it comes into our half, we get rid of it. That's the Mourinho way, but you've got Foyth coming in and you think, okay, great, you know, give Sanchez a little break. He's played, you know, almost every minute of every game. He's been, I think, probably better than he had been under Poch. So he's been, you know, he's looked pretty good. But give him a rest, put Foyth in, and there you go, 20 or so minutes in, makes a horrendous mistake. You know, I don't know what he's trying to do there. You know, bringing the ball out, gets caught, and then where's Toby Alderweireld going? And they score the simplest of goals. And to be honest, at that moment, I remember I was sort of walking around my kitchen with the telly on, sort of not really worried, thinking, no, we're all right here. All of a sudden, 1-0 down. Oh, here we go again. What do you think about that?
I was exactly the same. And I think to jump back on the Mourinho thing, I think you're right. I've been watching his body language, and like, he's obviously in there and he's saying a lot of the right things at the minute. And I think he is trying to be Mr. Nice. I'm sort of wish he would bring a bit of his bus with him, because we need to start parking a bit of a bus. But I think he's trying to show that he's not Mr. Negative all the time. And I get that in a way, because he's only came to the club, and look, a lot of people were expecting it to be very negative football. It hasn't been. I think it's just been silly mistakes, and he came out and said it himself after the game. But you're right, you know what? Like, I seen Foyth in the starting lineup, and I was actually quite excited about seeing him there. But you know, the guy just looks like every time he's on the ball, he looks scared. He looks like he's scared to make a mistake. And you know, it was a terrible touch. You're right, Alderweireld. I don't know what Toby was doing, and even Gazzaniga. You know, could he not have come off his line a wee bit more, you know, to even close those angles? He just stood on his line, and the ball didn't go that much in the corner. But look, it was just a typical goal against Spurs at the minute. And I think that's the real frustration for us. You know, we're scoring goals, you know, we're attacking teams, but you never feel really that comfortable when you're watching us play. But I do think January is going to tell a lot. You know, look, we've spoke over all the years about transfer windows and the transfers have never came, never materialised. You know, to me personally, you know, Mourinho hasn't taken this job without some kind of a backing, you know, that he can bring in a few players. I don't think he'll do a lot in January, because I think we'll have to really wait until the summer. You know, I think we'll have to give him the rest of the season, see who he brings in January, see what he does in the summer. And we'll go from there. But I'd like to think he's maybe a couple of players maybe lined up to try and make us a bit more solid. Because really going forward, you know, we're quite good. I think we do need a midfielder, another maybe defensive midfielder in there. But Dumbelli, he showed what he was about yesterday. For me, he was man of the match. I know Eriksen got man of the match. I thought Dumbelli was the star man. And it's just hard to understand what's going on with him, but we'll probably chat about him later. But look, it's been sort of frustrating with those mistakes. And you're right, you know, I don't know what Foyth was doing. And we just have to hope that Mourinho can get this team together and sort it out.
Yeah, I mean, I tweeted out last week when Mourinho had said, look, we don't need anybody in. You know, he's really impressed with all the players and, you know, obviously the majority of people are going, well, wait there. Of course we need new players. Of course we need this. Of course we need that. And I said, well, actually, if you think about, you know, the mind games that Mourinho plays, that Levy plays, you know, you've got to think about three things. First of all, if Levy and Mourinho come out and say, right, yeah, we want to buy loads of players because the ones we've got at the moment aren't good enough, A, that's saying to other teams, you can have our players at cut price. B, it means that if we want to go for a player, then teams and chairman go, oh, because you need players, because you've come out and said that yours aren't good enough. So we're going to bump our prices up. And C, it gives the players at the team at the moment, coming into this very busy period, it dejects them, doesn't it? Before you can even make a transfer, you're saying, you guys aren't good enough, you know, and by the way, we've got five games coming up. I feel a little bit foolish, actually, saying that, tweeting that, because I almost feel to myself, actually, maybe Mourinho should have come out and said, yeah, we've got probably 11 to 13, maybe 14 really, really good players. The rest, to be honest with you, the jury's out. And so what actually could have happened was that would have made people like Foyth and you know, the list goes on really, everybody basically go, well, is he talking about me? Is he talking about me? And it may have put them on their toes a little bit more, made them think a little bit more. So Mourinho's, I think without a shadow of a doubt, he's got his eyes on a few players. And he's gone with the tactic of, no, actually, I'm going to boost the confidence of the guys we've got at the moment. And actually, that hasn't worked. because we're not playing well. Yes, we picked up a couple of decent results, but it actually has backfired because we haven't improved in our performances. The players that are, you know, doing the business still are Kane. We know that he's going nowhere. Dele Alli, we know that he's put his arm around and said, come on, do your stuff. And although he's giving the ball away, his little flicks and tricks aren't quite coming off, he still, you know, has those moments in the matches. But those players that haven't nailed down a first-team place are still making massive mistakes. So that confidence boost of, oh, no, guys, you are good enough. I don't want to buy anybody. Have they sort of gone, oh, well, that's all right then. I'll carry on making silly mistakes. Whereas what they should have done was gone, right, hang on, I've got to up my game here. I thought Winks actually in the last game, although he got two bookings and probably should have been sent off, he did play a lot better than he had been playing. I think Sissoko is consistently awkward and hard to play against. And although he does things that you go, can this guy actually play football? He all-round game, is. I like him. He's won me over. But Dyer, Foyth, Oria, you know.
Lo Celso
played great when he came on against...
against Brighton.
Against Brighton, but was awful yesterday. You know, the jury's out for him. And, you know, and then you've got Mora, who probably has gone, right, you know, let's see what I can do. You know, he's played well, I think, given his chance. Although going back a couple of games, he was awful. But the last couple of games, he's looked handy. So it's all mind games. It's all psychological. But you know, what do you do? Because he's trying to be, as I say, nicey-nicey Jose. Maybe he needs to come out and go, actually, no, a couple of these guys aren't good enough. I'd like him to say that, actually, in his next press conference, just to say, yeah, jury's out on a couple of these guys. Anyway, we've got Southampton. You know, they're 15th in the league. And let's see how we get on. And I want him to tell him, guys, this is your last game. You could be off next week.
Yeah, I think you could be right in what you're saying about he didn't want to upset too much, you know, running up to these five big games. So you could possibly see once Southampton's out of the way here on Wednesday, you know, that you could see a slight change. I would say, looking at his body language on the sideline, and I think that yesterday again, I noticed, I think about 3 minutes before half-time, he was gone. You know, he was down the tunnel. He was in the changing room. And I would say that he's probably a completely different man when he's inside that dressing room. But he's a winner. And that's why I think a lot of us, I know for me, and we haven't done a podcast to chat about it, for me, he was the only man to come into the club. And if you had said to us 5 or 6 years ago, with the chance of getting Jose Mourinho, people would have laughed at the thought of a man like, you know, a manager like that coming to Spurs. But, you know, we have him there, and I do think that he must be very, very frustrated with what he's seeing. And he'll know what he has to do, and I think we just have to ride this out. I think the good thing about this season is everybody's as bad as each other, bar Liverpool. You know, really, when you look at it, and Leicester obviously had a great run, and I know Chelsea, look at Chelsea's past, what, 6 games? What if they won 2 games? You know, we were 12 points behind.
Yeah.
You know, whenever it comes in. So everybody's closed that gap. You look at Man United, went and beat us, they beat Man City. Then they lose, you know, their next game and just about beat Burnley yesterday. So everybody, I think that's been a good thing for us, that, you know, that gap hasn't went massive, because really when he came in at 12 points, I thought there's no chance we're not going to get anywhere near this. But look, we're 5 points behind Chelsea now after today's results. And, you know, there's still a chance there. But, you know, changes need to happen. Ericsson's one, you know, I think we'll find out. I think he is going to go, unfortunately. I think, again, it's really frustrated me with Christian Ericsson. It's good to be able to say it tonight. That guy's given us 7 fantastic years, in my opinion. And I think the abuse that he's taken this season from the supporters has been not, you know, I don't think it's on. You know, it's not, I would look over if the guy hadn't said anything at all and wasn't playing. He came out at the start of the season and actually said, look, you know, I've done 7 years, I would like to move on. You know, the guy's been honest up front about it. it hasn't been that he's been hiding something from everybody, and he still went out there and had some decent performances. And again, yesterday when I watched, I just looked at him and went, you know what? He has one bit of class that we actually have in that team, and I would love him to stay, but I think he's just made up his mind. I don't think it's anything to do with Spurs, or I think it wouldn't matter where he is. I think he just maybe wants to go abroad, maybe try something else before the end of his career. And I do think it's a big loss for us. And, you know, we're going to have to replace him massively.
Yeah, I just think he should have kept it to himself. Kept playing this season because he played brilliant yesterday. He was terrific.
But sorry, Steve, to jump in. You know, again there, if he hadn't said anything at the start of the season, and he leaves us in January for nothing, or at the end of the season, he would have got the death, and he would have been called almost like a soul candle. Ah, you ran your contract down when we could have got this for you, and that, you know. So I do think genuinely he was trying to be quite honest about things.
Yeah, he didn't say too much, but I don't think he's played very well. I think he played great yesterday, and that was kind of, yeah. You know, but that is that Mourinho saying to him, listen, we haven't had a bid for you.
Yeah.
You can go to Real Madrid. But Real Madrid, you know, Jose might have said to him, and I said this on another podcast, I said, you know, just tell him, just say, hey, listen, I had a chat with the president yesterday, and he said he's looking at you, but at the moment you haven't played very well. So you're playing today, have a good game, and I might get you in. The obvious footballing thing to do would be to swap him with Gareth Bale. The trouble with that is, of course, that Eriksen, I think, is on whatever money he is, 100 grand or whatever, and Bale's on 350 grand a week or whatever it is. And we're just not going to pay those wages. So Gareth Bale can come to Tottenham, you know, where he'd be adored, he'd be worshipped, he gets to work with Kane, which, I mean, how mouthwatering is that? Kane and Bale, you know, they probably hate each other within three games, but, you know, I'm the star. But, you know, mouthwatering to get those two together. And then Eriksen goes there and, you know, everyone's happy. But will it happen? Probably not. And I would say because Bale would want more money. And also, do Real Madrid actually want Eriksen? You know, it might be a case, actually, that Jose said, listen, Christian, we haven't had a bid from Real Madrid. So what do you want to do? Do you want to sit on the bench for the rest of the season, or I'll play you if you play great? And that's what he did. It's in his hands. You know, he's got the talent.
Yeah, I don't think he'll go in January. I really don't. You know, I can't see anybody putting a bid in for him at the minute. No. So I do think he'll stay to the end of the season. And look, for me, I know he hasn't had a great season, but if he comes out like yesterday and plays like that, he has to start every game.
Yeah.
He has to. You know, are you telling me you want to see Winks and Sissoko, or Eric Dier and Sissoko, those kind of players starting every game? Not for me. Not for me. If we want to get into that top four again, I think, you know, Ndombele sort of showed yesterday what he was about. I don't get what's been going on with him. I really don't.
And crazy, isn't
it? I quite liked what Mourinho said about him. You know, I think he was letting us all know, look, this guy, you know, he's had a few injuries this year. It must be something psychological going on with him, where he's going, look, I don't think I can play in this game and the next game so quickly. So he's probably said, right, well, look, we'll save you for Norwich. And I think he showed us yesterday what class this guy can be. But we need that guy on the pitch week in, week out. Yeah. Some of the things he done yesterday I thought were fantastic.
Well, it's like Dembele, isn't it? You pay your money to watch these guys play. Sissoko, for all his endeavour and his fight and his charging and all the rest of it, you don't pay money to watch that. You pay money to watch Ndombele do his stuff. You know, he's awkward. He's leggy. His arms are all over the place. But he does a little bit of skill, and you go, yes, you know, that's worth the admission fee. Okay.
What I like about him as well is he always wants to go forward.
Yeah.
You know, he does go, obviously, the start a game and all this style of play now. But he's always looking that forward pass for me, you know, which I think's great, you know. Yeah.
There's a story about this Clark guy coming back from Leeds. Not interested. Yeah. I don't know what he's been up to. Not really anything to talk about there, unless you want to say anything about that.
No, I think it was just a bit of a surprise that, you know, Spurs obviously signed him, loaned him back to Leeds, and then he hasn't kicked the ball.
Yeah, I mean, is he not very good? I mean, I don't know.
No, like what I've seen of him last year, and obviously once we signed him, I had a bit of a look into him, and he looks like a very, very good young prospect. But, you know, if Leeds aren't going to play him, keep him at Spurs.
Yeah.
Let him train with the team. Let him learn, play for the under-23s. But the clips I've seen of him, it could be the kind of guy we might want to bring in here in January and, you know, keep a few guys on their toes, you know.
Yeah, crazy. New stadium. You went for the Champions League, didn't you?
It was over for the Champions League final,
but you
haven't
been since?
Haven't been to a game, to be honest with you. It's been hard for me now, obviously. Well, my son being at in Glasgow now, Glasgow Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for me because most of the spare time that I get, and obviously money, because it's a lot of expense travelling from here over to Tottenham.
Mm-hmm.
I've put into obviously going to see him more.
Right.
So that's probably why I haven't done a game. But I do plan, but I was there for the Champions League final. And it's outstanding. You know what it really is. I can't wait to get an actual game at the ground, you know, but what a place.
So you'd rather go and watch Rangers under 19s or whatever it is and come to the theatre of dreams in London. Unbelievable. Loyalty.
Yeah, definitely.
Where's your loyalty? So what's he playing for? Who's he playing for?
Well, he's signed for Glasgow Rangers. He's been there a year and a half.
What's the level?
Well, they have an under 18. He's still eligible to play in the under 18 squad. This is last year, that age group.
So, where's he go from there?
They have them what they call a development squad, stroke their reserves.
Yeah.
It's like a mixture. So there'd be like under 19 tournaments that only certain boys can play in, but then into the reserves. So you obviously can have first team players dropping in there as well. So
yeah.
He's been up and down. He's had a few run outs with the reserves. He was way over to young boys.
Okay, so he's played for the what we used to call the reserves.
Yeah.
Did he score? Mm-hmm. Has he scored for them?
No, he hasn't. He's only had, to be honest, in the times he's been probably been called in three times, and it was actually the Champions League Youth Cup games, which the Rangers are still in. They've actually got Atletico Madrid in the next round.
Yeah, Dan Yoda's tweeted in saying the dream team back in action.
Davey knows. he's been over there, so he's only had maybe at max maybe like 15 minutes, you know, of game time with the reserves, but he's only 17. Yeah, so good experience for him. But he's placed for the under 18s most weeks. He's top goal scorer.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. So he's played. Does he start for them?
Yes. Yeah. So most weeks.
And scoring goals.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got 18 goals, I think it is. And
brilliant.
12 games
so
for them this year.
He's going to make it, isn't he?
I hope so. Oh, it's tough. Do you know what? If anybody's listening to this and their kids at a stage where clubs are looking at them. Do you know what? The probably easiest part is getting that contract, getting across the water.
Right.
Once you move, it's hard. Because if you give Mike Christopher as an example, he came from Northern Ireland as being one of the main players in this country.
Yeah.
The top goal scorer in the country for Northern Ireland and his club. And then you go over to these big, and Rangers are massive. Like, yeah, you know, they are a massive club. You know, you come over there to boys that are all at the same level. You know, and it's tough. So he's had to get used to sitting on the bench for the first time ever, you know, so that's all hard to deal with.
Yeah.
You know, when you're used to playing week in, week out. But no, look, he starts most games, but there's other good strikers there, so they're all having to take their turn, and it's just about developing.
And Troy Parrott is Northern Irish, right?
No, he's Republic of Ireland.
He's Republic, sorry, right. But they have played against each other.
Yeah, three times, actually. I've seen Troy play. Oh, and funny, he always stood out whenever Christopher's club was called Linfield. And they went down. Troy played for a team called Belvedere in Dublin. And Linfield every year would have always, they would like a cross-community, cross-border thing. would have went down and played in like the Dublin Cup. And actually, in the Dublin Cup, both Linfield and Belvedere both got to the final. And Linfield won 2-1. Troy actually scored for Belvedere, and Christopher scored the winner for Linfield. So we did that day. So we beat them 2-1.
What's Carrick Rangers then?
Carrick Rangers are an Irish League club as well. Which
did
is where we're
from. Did Chris play for them?
Yes, he started at Carrick Rangers.
Right.
And then he moved to, he was only played from them from he was 6'6" till he was 11. And then he went to Linfield, and Linfield would be the so-called biggest club here in Northern Ireland. And he went there, and he went right through all the age groups through Linfield.
So he's at Rangers, knocking the goals in. Mm-hmm. Has he had a chat with Stevie Gerrard at all? Has he met him? Or
Yeah, quite a few times. Okay. Gerrard would come to quite a few other games. Gary McAllister would go to a lot as well, obviously. Yeah. You'd probably see more of Gary McAllister watching games.
Oh, okay.
But the, you know, the training facilities at Rangers are out of this world.
Yeah,
they're absolutely fantastic. So obviously the first team have their part, but they do mix and they get through and they go to see games. Christopher's played in what they call their bump games, which they would like friendlies between themselves.
Yeah,
where Gerrard would want first team players down to get a bit of game time, they would call some of the young lads in. So, funny, the guy played really well for Rangers today, beat Celtic, Barisic, the left back. Christopher's played with him a few times, and Stephen Davis and Kyle Lafferty's and all these sort of guys, you know. So, it's really, really good. But no, he would see him. He's obviously met Defoe with the Being a Spurs podcast. Obviously,
when Jermaine.
Yes, he did. He actually went straight round to him. And, of course, I was straight on the phone going, you've got to go to Jermaine Defoe. So I was actually in work, and he rang me, and I could hear it in his voice. You know, like, you know that real excited, but you couldn't really speak voice. Yeah. And he just went, Dad, I've just spoke to Jermaine Defoe. And I was going, right, what did he say? And he says, I told him my dad's a big Spurs fan and I'm a Spurs fan. And and he said he was great. And he said, actually, Defoe, I would say a good 10, 15 minutes. Stayed with them and had a real chat with them, and you know, and the young lads at Rangers are allowed to go and approach these guys and ask them to work with them, and
yeah.
He hasn't had a chance yet to do anything with Defoe. But hey, do you remember Peter Lovenkrantz?
Yes.
He's the reserve team coach with Graham Murdy.
Okay.
Christopher would do a lot of one-on-ones with Peter Lovenkrantz.
Yeah.
And Chris says he's fantastic. Oh, brilliant. You know, it's really good to work with. So look, it's all good, and great. But look, he's young, and hopefully one day he'll, if he doesn't make it at Rangers, he'll make it somewhere
like
else.
Right.
Yeah, maybe.
Right. Couple of things then. So in terms of players, just very quickly, Gazzaniga, how do you think he's been doing?
I've been disappointed, to be honest with
really?
You. Yeah, I've been disappointed.
Harsh. You are harsh.
Yeah, I thought this is his chance, and he's not for me. I think we need to sign a goalkeeper next summer. You know, Hugo will come back in.
Do you mind?
Not really. I haven't really thought about it that much, but we need to sign a goalkeeper.
I think the easiest decision would be go for Schmeichel.
Yeah.
See what they're up to. They will get Champions League, won't they? But just say to them, you know, yes. You know, you might have a season in the Champions League, but listen, how realistically far are you going to get? And just, you know, go for him.
But what age is he?
Sorry?
I don't think he's old,
is he? I mean, he's got to be mid-20s.
Yeah, maybe a bit older, maybe about 28, coming 30.
I wouldn't have thought so, but I mean, I just think he's the... goalkeepers, I've always said goalkeepers to me... aren't your most important position really, as long as you haven't got a complete calamity. I mean, we've got a guy, you know, Lloris, who's a World Cup winning blooming captain who makes enough mistakes. Yeah. So, who else is there? You know, anyone that ever plays against us seems to be a brilliant goalkeeper, basically.
Ben Foster.
Yeah, you got Aurier. I thought he was really good against Brighton. You know, scores the own goal yesterday, which I thought was a just. He looked
just awful. Unlucky.
Just
a, it was
But he looked awful. It was silly. You know,
I know.
Put your feet out, mate.
He just has those moments, but do you know what? I've quite liked him going forward for us.
Yeah, he's not as bad as people bang on about. He really isn't. Vertonghen.
To be honest with you, I think he's struggling a bit at left back. Just obviously people are talking about his pace and things. And you know, look, I still would like Jan to maybe sign like another year's contract. And I think he's a squad player maybe now, but I think we need to find a top left back. We need to, you know, be content. Again, there's another Leicester player, Chilwell.
Go and get him.
Do you know what I mean? Him or even I quite like the boy at West Ham. What's the left back? I forget his name. Yeah.
Cresswell.
Yeah. You know, there's two young good fullbacks. You know, so yeah. Why not?
I've always said, you know, there's got to be fullbacks that are available. There's got to be. You know, you go to go to Germany. Who's the five best fullbacks that play in German teams? There's got to be some players there that, you know.
Well, there's one for you. I can't remember his name. What about the left back that played for Bayern Munich against us? He was only 19 in the last game there in Munich. He was outstanding.
Do you know who was brilliant? Was the right back for Brighton. The one with the long hair?
Oh, yes, yeah.
He was excellent.
Yeah.
Go get him. No, I mean, we're not going to go through all these players because, you know, we know everybody else talks about them so much. But look, is there anything else we want to cover? I mean, you know, we've got Southampton coming up. It's a sort of game where you look at it and go, right, we're not at home, so there's no pressure.
Yeah.
We're away from home. It's on New Year's Day. Okay, so are the crowd going to be up for it? Probably not, right? Because they'll all be hungover. Because Southampton, Bournemouth, all those towns, they're all party towns. So they'll all be, you know, right? You've got they've done well the last couple of games.
Yeah,
they've got a great result at Chelsea. They got a result away away at Palace. Good result for them.
No, they were home to Palace there.
Were they at home to Palace? No, I think they were away, weren't they?
No, they equalised.
Sorry, Southampton were at home to Palace. Sorry, of course they were. Yeah. Right, so they got that's kind of decent results there.
They were brilliant against Chelsea.
They're 15th in the league, okay. Mm-hmm. So they're not exactly like, oh, we must win this game. It's the best case scenario to go and get 3 points. You know, when we played Norwich, obviously they're fighting for their lives. This game is perfect for us. If we don't get 3 points, you just got to look at it and go, what are we doing? But again, we said it last year because I think we played Southampton in the same position last year. And there you go. We lost 2-1.
It's one of those games. I always say, we'll know within the first 20 minutes by the way Spurs start. And I knew by that Norwich game, the way it started, there wasn't much pace to the game. We weren't in their faces. And I sort of knew, I just knew that it was just going to be another one of those days.
Yeah.
And I always think it, you know, whenever, we'll soon know when it kicks off against Southampton, you know, have these boys been given, you know, a rollicking from Mourinho and they want to go out and improve? Obviously, Son still suspended as well. But, you know, we need to start these games. And I think we've done it once. Who was it against? Oh, forget the game. I think it was at White Hart Lane. And we came out on absolute... we were 2-0 up and it was Burnley. I know it's Burnley. But, you know, within 9 minutes, we're 2-0 up.
Hmm.
And they came out and they were just on fire.
We came out 4-0 up at half-time.
Exactly.
And we can do it.
Of course we can. Of course we can. And look, I think, you know, people are obviously in social media and things are saying it. I think, you know, Pochettino got a bit of a hard time towards the end. I think it does show that it wasn't all to do with him. You know, there's just something lying at the club here at the minute. And I think it just needs freshened up. Look, I've been crying for it. I've been saying it out there for ages. You know, for me, Daniel Levy needs to start back in this club. I know. People can say, but he is. Look at the training ground. Look at the stadium that he's built. Yes, fantastic. he needs to start backing our managers.
He couldn't do both at the same time, though.
Yeah, yeah. No, look, I get that, and I totally understand.
He said he could.
But
he said
need
he
to do it.
But that was the lie he told. To keep players at the club, to keep the fans happy, and to get the season ticket money in. It was a complete lie, because he knew, wait there, if I'm paying for this training ground and I'm paying for this new stadium, there's no way I can pay for new players as well. But I'm not going to tell the fans that. I'm not going to tell the press that. I'm going to tell the press and I'm going to tell everybody that actually, no, it won't affect our transfers. That was a lie.
Yeah.
But do we say, oh, you're a bang out of order for doing that? Or do we go, yeah, well, if you hadn't have said that, Kane would have been off. They all would have been off earlier.
We wouldn't
have bought our season tickets, and we wouldn't have been able to be in the position we are now. So we got duped. The players got duped, but we are where we are. We've got the best training centre. We've got the best stadium. We've got the best manager. We've got brilliant players, and we're looking forwards and upwards. And now Mourinho can go, right, I'm now in a position where we can start buying players. I can't see Cole Mourinho turning round and saying, right, the lad at Wolves, Traore, I want him.
Mm-hmm.
And if Wolves turn around and say, yeah, you can have him, he's 60 million quid, then then maybe no. But if they say, you know, they can work out some kind of deal, you know, I can't see. And or if he says, you know, he's look, what's a reasonable price for the lad?
For Traore?
Yeah.
The way he's been playing lately, you're probably talking today's market 30 million, 35
right.
million, aren't you?
30, 40 million, right? So he says, right, I want him. Wolves want 40 million for him. 20 now, 40 if we get in the top four. And then he says, no, I'm not doing the deal. I'll do 15 now, blah, blah, blah. And he does that whole thing that we don't know that happens, but Twitter tells us that he offers 15 million and a packet of salt and vinegar crisps, you know. And then Mourinho looks at it and goes, hang on, no. I want Traore. Why have you lowballed them by 5 million? Just pay that money that they want, blah, 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 blah. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mourinho
yeah.
will go, I'm out.
Yeah.
He won't do what Pep did, Poch did. Allegedly, Poch wants a player, they don't get him. Poch goes, all right then, well, fair enough, but I'll carry on going. Jose Mourinho will go, no thank you for a game of soldiers, I'll go elsewhere. Because Mourinho can go, just like Pochettino, he'll get the next big job going. Because he's got so much, credit as a manager.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to stick around. He's got no loyalty to Tottenham. So the minute coming up, if he says he wants this player or that player, and they say, well, if it's silly money, Jose will understand. But if he goes, no, they want 20 million for him, you know, or they want this money, why have you? I'm off.
Yeah.
So let's see.
No, I agree, and I said it earlier on. There's no way Mourinho came to us without a guarantee, some kind of guarantee.
Yeah.
That he is going to get money, or there's so much there, you know, to go. Like I would say, he's already been told, look, you're probably going to have to get rid of X, Y, and Z, and you'll have 60 million plus that to go out and sign, you know, two players in January. Because, look, he's not going to go out and sign four or five players. It's not going to happen. So I can see maybe a centre-half and maybe a full-back coming in. I think he definitely needs a left-back, because Danny Rose is completely out of the question. You know, he's gone now. You know, he's done. You'll see Danny Rose maybe go to Watford now, and Spurs maybe pick up 15 million for him, 10, 15 million.
Well, he is one player that won't go, because he'd rather just sit in the reserves.
Yeah,
his possibly. Paycheck. He's fallen out of love with football.
Yeah.
So he won't go anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he might do something like, say, Eric Dier. He's played him for half a dozen games. The last couple, he hasn't picked him. He might, if someone fancies an England international centre back, say something crazy like West Ham.
yeah.
come in. And they get a new manager. I think they're going to get Moyes back again. It's hilarious.
But it's unbelievable.
Moyes says to Sullivan and Gold, we need to sort it out. You know, we need to shore it up. Is Dyer available?
Yeah.
Because he's in and out of that Spurs side. Can we make a phone call? Is he available? You know, I can see him being someone that they say, okay, yeah, you can have him. And you know, West Ham, are they going to pay silly money? Probably.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can have Dyer for 30 million, 40 million, something silly, something where we go, oh yeah, we'll have a bit of that.
Yeah.
You know, I can see that happening.
Yeah. No. Look, I definitely think January is going to be interesting. You know, it has something that's going to happen here. What is our, if you get the fixture list, what is the next run of games? Southampton?
Yeah, so Southampton, then we're away at Middlesbrough.
Yeah.
In the cup. Then we've got Liverpool at home.
Liverpool, yeah.
We've got Norwich.
Yeah.
Because there's another FA Cup game, hopefully.
Yeah.
And then it's Norwich at home.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know...
It's not a bad run of games. Obviously, Liverpool's going to be tough, but you could also find it's not a bad time to be playing Liverpool.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't great there tonight. Yeah. You know, you've got Liverpool, they've got that 13-17 point gap now. You could see a couple of them maybe starting to ease off a wee bit. You know, don't want to get hurt for the run-in with a lot of cup games coming up as well. So it mightn't be a bad time to play Liverpool. And again, we might have a couple of new players in by then as well, which might just lift everybody as well.
Yeah. We'll see.
It's all looking decent.
Yeah. All right, matey.
Okay, mate. Well, it was good to chat again.
Yeah,
it's been a while.
Just let me know if you want to do the pod again.
Yeah, say whenever I'm free, we'll definitely get it. Obviously, can't do them on a weekly basis at the minute, but we'll definitely try and get a few more out there.
Yeah.
And especially, we'll get one out when we win the FA Cup. Wouldn't that be nice?
right now, top four, or fifth and FA Cup.
Unfortunately, we have to get top four. Yeah, unfortunately,
we do. You're absolutely right, and I love the word unfortunately.
Yeah,
it shouldn't be like that. It should be absolutely FA Cup, win a trophy. Mm-hmm. But the way of football these days, if you don't get top four. You can win all the FA Cups and League Cups and other cups, Audi Cups.
Yeah.
Players won't want to stay. And it'll be a great day out and we'll have memories. It'll be lovely. But we'll be sitting around the pool and we'll be going, yeah, we've won the FA Cup. Isn't it lovely? And then someone comes over to you and goes, oh, yeah, Kane's gone to Man City.
Yeah.
You know? So,
I don't.
Cheers.
No, it's just,
all right, mate.
Just the way things are nowadays. But look, I'm pretty confident we'll sneak into that top four.
Yeah.
So I'm quite confident about it.
All right, mate.
Okay, mate.
No chance. All right.
Cheers, mate.
Lovely jubbly. See you later.
See you later. Come on, you Spurs.
Come on, you Spurs. Listen to your heart.